Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. We've got visitors with us again this evening. We appreciate your attendance. We pray that you'll be blessed by being here, that the things will build us up and bring honor and glory to God. We had a good morning service, and we just look forward to many more opportunities to worship our Heavenly Father this side of eternity. So last week, I started a series on A Christian According to Peter. We're going to look, most of the verses are going to be from Peter, but we're going to get his perspective on things. The text for this evening, 1 Peter 1:13, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." We looked in the first lesson that there are three passages that use the word Christian. Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, 1 Peter 4:16. And we also noted that this was a name given by God. It was not a name given to make fun of the followers of Christ, but it was a name that was prophesied that his people would be called by a new name in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 and 2. In the first lesson, we saw that a Christian is a taught disciple. We saw that a Christian is one who is persuaded. "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." And we saw that a Christian is one who is willing to suffer for doing right. This evening, I want us to look at the idea of Christians being God's children, but also grace and obedience and how that fits in to being his children. We hear the word grace used a lot. And there's a beautiful balance in God's grace and man's obedience in regard to salvation. Peter defined salvation as grace unto you. In 1 Peter 1:10, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." A lot of times we hear people, again, throw the word grace around where God give you grace, or we'll give him grace. We'll overlook what they have done. We're going to see how that compares to what the Bible says. And in 1 Peter 1:13, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter isn't the only one that talks about this. We read about this in the book of James. James chapter 2 and verse 17. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." So Peter emphasizes man's responsibility to obey God. 1 Peter 1:2, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of the Father and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied." In verse 14, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance." And in chapter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So Christians are called children of obedience. And a Christian is to have an obedient nature. A sinner, in contrast, is a child of disobedience. Now, when we talk about obeying and obedience, we can usually tell if somebody is wanting to obey willingly or unwillingly. And we can see that especially in children. And Peter calls us the children of God. You see this little boy here at the table. His mother has told him something to do. We don't know what, but you can, I would say, safely conclude that he does not want to obey his mother and what she told him to do. Grace comes with loving obedience. God will overlook things when we lovingly serve him, when we lovingly obey him. And we, friends, we are not going to get grace without obeying God. God is not going to overlook things that go against what he told us to do. It is important, absolutely important, to obey God in everything. One of the important things of obedience is that the soul is purified when one obeys the truth. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Our souls cannot be purified apart from obeying God. And a lot of people, again, they say, all you have to do is love God. All you have to do is love God, let him come into your heart, and you're going to be saved and you're going to be in heaven. That is not what the Bible says. That is not what Peter said. He said, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And notice how Peter uses soul in other places in this letter. 1 Peter 1:9 talks about receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The verse we just looked at, purified your souls in obeying the truth. We see in 2:11, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:25, you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ is looking out for our souls. 1 Peter 3:20, who were formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through the water. I like this verse for a number of reasons, but whenever anybody puts down a group for having a small number, you got to remember 1 Peter 3:20. It teaches so many things, but there are only eight people saved there. Aren't you glad there were eight people saved there? If those eight people weren't saved, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight talking about God and worshiping him. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So how does this soul fit in with grace and obedience? Well, the Holy Spirit calls the soul the hidden man of the heart. 1 Peter 3:4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. This hidden man or soul is not corruptible. It's not going to decay. It is incorruptible. Therefore, it is immortal. It's going to live forever. When we look at the soul eternity and obedience and grace, how do we know anything about all of this? Again, it's only through the written, revealed word that we know anything, that we know any truth. And truth reveals sin's defilement of man's soul. 1 Peter 2:24, speaking of Christ, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So we sin, we learn from the truth, from God's word, that we have sinned, and Christ bore our sins in his own body on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, for since we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, for we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account of him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And we used this passage last week in pointing out that when we stop doing these things, verse 4, in regard, people are going to think it's strange that you don't keep doing those, and they're going to speak evil of you. And that was one of the characteristics of a Christian, is that we are going to suffer for doing right. But we see, we learn this, we learn about sin through the truth of God's word. We see that when we sin, it defiles our soul, our eternal soul. And truth reveals God's plan for saving man's soul. So how is man's soul going to be saved? We have to obey God's word. And again, back to last week when we talked about a Christian being persuaded, people don't want to be persuaded today. They feel comfortable where they are. They feel comfortable believing what they believe. They feel comfortable going where they go, no matter what denomination it is, and we've got to move them out of their comfort zone and persuade them to go back to God's word, back to the Bible, and see what God has to say about the matter. And we see that God's grace offers salvation. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. So men must believe in Jesus as our Savior. We are not going to be saved unless we believe that Christ is our Savior. When we understand that we have sinned and violated God's law, we must repent. And if men refuse to repent of our sins, we will be lost. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who doesn't need to come to repentance? Everybody needs to come to repentance because everybody has sinned. We have all sinned. And if we refuse to repent of our sins, we're going to be lost. And again, I don't say that to be mean or ugly. It's just that's the facts that God has revealed to us. But again, God's grace offers salvation. And we must be baptized for the remission of sins and an answer of a good conscience. Peter says in chapter 3 and verse 20, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do we have a good conscience toward God? It's through obedience to his word. When we obey him, when we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we're going to have a good conscience toward God. And that happens when we obey the truth. His soul is purified from sin, the guilt and condemnation of sin. He's born again. He has a new life in Christ. Again, 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So when one obeys the truth, he has the joy of salvation. A Christian has the joy of salvation. Nobody else has the joy of salvation other than a Christian. A Christian that has been obedient to God's revealed word. A Christian has the hope of heaven. 1 Peter 1:3. No one else has the hope of heaven. No one else except the one that has been obedient to God's word. When one obeys the truth, when one is a Christian, he has an inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4. Again, no one else has an inheritance except for the one that obeys, that is obedient to the revealed word. So we must obey the gospel. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Peter's saying, we're going to be judged. And it's a scary thing. And if it begins with us, what's going to be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? He's basically saying they don't have any hope at all. They do not have any hope at all because they are not obedient children. 1 Peter 4:17. Now stop and think about this. If someone obeys something other than the gospel, the creeds and doctrines of man, they do not have any of the blessings or promises or protection that Peter mentions as God's obedient children. Well, what do I mean by if someone obeys something other than the gospel, the deeds, creeds, and doctrines of man? Well, if someone is a Lutheran, have they obeyed the gospel? No. The Church of England? No. The Presbyterian? Have they obeyed the gospel? No. The Baptists? Do they obey the gospel? No. The Methodists, the Mormons, the Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, the Assembly of God, the Pentecostal? Have they obeyed the gospel? They haven't. And again, I don't say that to be mean, but we aren't going to get people to see that they need to be saved until we get them to see that they're lost. If someone obeys something other than the gospel, the deeds and doctrines of men, they do not have any of the blessings or promises or protection that Peter mentions. And we have those blessings and promises and protection. Why? Because we are God's obedient children, and we have these blessings and promises and protection because of God's grace, not because we are sinless, not because we are perfect. We sin, we stumble, we fall, but we are trying everything that we can to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father, because we don't want to be like that little boy we saw sitting at the table, kicking and screaming when we have to do something and we're told to do something. We want to obey God right away, all the way, in a willing way, in a happy way. We must obey the gospel. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Friends, we need to be praying for the people we know, our family, our friends, co-workers. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing for us, as we know what to do, as we know the truth, as we have obeyed the gospel, but we know we fall short, just because of Satan's attack on us constantly. And what's it going to be like for those that have not even obeyed the gospel? Again, they are without hope. So if someone obeys something other than the gospel, they don't have any of these blessings or promises or protection that Peter mentions. So we've got God the Father. We're talking about God's obedient children. We are his children. We are his children because we have been baptized. We have been born again. We're part of the family. And we have loving obedience to the Father. And when we have loving obedience to the Father, then we can receive his grace and blessings. We can go down dry and come up wet, and if we have not repented, if we are not lovingly obeying the Father, we are not going to receive the grace and blessings. And when we talk about being God's obedient children, it's not just being obedient to the command of being baptized. It's a life of obedience, a life of obedience. The Christian has the nature of obedience. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but we want to be loving, obedient children. We need to teach children to want to obey. Children of all ages, Some of us haven't learned this yet. When God tells us to do something, we need to be like this little boy and little girl, and we want to obey God. We want to have a heart that pleases the Father. Why? Well, as a sinner, we were in ignorance. We didn't know what we were doing, and we were blessed to be taught the truth. Our life was fashioned according to the lust or uncontrolled desires of the world, those things that give us pleasure but not contentment, those things that give us pleasure but it's the passing pleasure of sin, those things that are going to be fool's gold. As a Christian, we follow the way of truth, 2 Peter 2:3. And to obey the way of truth, we have to have knowledge. We have to study. We have to know, as obedient children, we have to study and want to know what God wants to do, and then as obedient children, we want to do that. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God is Israel, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. We see that in so many people today. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And talking about obeying the gospel, you go back to the first chapter of Romans, and Paul said that he was a debtor to preach the gospel. He was ready to preach the gospel. He was not ashamed to preach the gospel. And then you get over to chapter 10 and you drop down a few more verses. I think it's around 17 or somewhere. But he says basically, the sad thing is they have not all obeyed the gospel. There's a lot of people that have not obeyed. We want to obey the gospel. We want to be an obedient child. And as a child of obedience, the Christian must desire God's word. 1 Peter 2:2, like a newborn babe, we should long for that milk. We should desire God's word. We should abstain from fleshly lust. 1 Peter 2:11. If we don't, those lusts are just going to drag us back down. As an obedient child, we must be submissive to civil authority. 1 Peter 2:13 through 17. As an obedient child, we must let Christ be the pattern for our life. 1 Peter 2:21. As an obedient child, we must love one another. 1 Peter 1:22. As an obedient child, we must control the tongue. 1 Peter 3:10. This, when we do all of these, God will give us grace. Not just we do what we want and we say grace to you, or God's grace will cover our sins. It covers our sins when we are obedient children, striving to obey the Father, lovingly wanting to obey the Father. And as a child of obedience, the Christian must turn away from evil. We turn away from evil and God will give us grace. A Christian must pray. 1 Peter 3:12. A Christian must be ready to give a reason for the possessed hope. 1 Peter 3:15. A Christian must cast all our care and anxiety on God. As an obedient child, those things that weigh us down, those things we worry about, those things that we are anxious about, we tell our Father about them. We give them to the Father. We put our faith and our life and our trust in the Father's hands. And we know as obedient children, we have nothing to worry about, because our Father is going to take care of us. As obedient children, we must resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. We don't see how close we can get to him. We need to flee from him. We need to run from him. We need to resist him. As an obedient child of Christ, in faith, we must supply the Christian graces. 2 Peter 1:5 through 11. And I understand when some people say, all you got to do to be saved is, and then they mention five things, and all you got to do once you're saved is do these five things, and talking about when we come together. Friends, that doesn't even scratch the surface. There's so much to being a Christian, to being a child of God, and it's all for our good, all for our protection, that we would grow and become stronger children so that we can escape the sin of this world. And when Christ comes back, we will have that home waiting for us, where we're not just talking about the Father, but we can go home to be with the Father. So back in the first chapter of 1 Peter, he talks about our hope in 1 Peter 1:3. He talks about our joy in 1 Peter 1:8. He talks about our inheritance in 1 Peter 1:4. And this hope, this joy, this inheritance cannot be realized apart from obedience. We have no inheritance, no hope, no joy without obeying God. And what must we obey? We must obey the gospel. We cannot obey the doctrines and creeds of men. And somebody will say, well, when you obey, then that's doing away with grace. We're saved by grace. It doesn't do away with grace. Obedience does not negate grace. 1 Samuel 15:22, then Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So when we talk about being God's obedient children, we see that God's grace offers salvation. We see that we must obey the gospel to be children of God. And we must be born again to be children of God. And then the Christian lives a life of obedience to please the Father and receive his grace. A few thoughts on a Christian according to Peter. Learning to become God's obedient children and realizing that that's the only way we can be saved, is to obey what he says. And again, we looked at a dozen different things that a Christian must do according to Peter, as God's obedient children, and it's all for our good and protection, and all that we might enjoy those blessings and protection and have that inheritance. Friends, if there's anyone in the audience this evening that needs prayers, that needs to respond in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.